Dear brothers and sisters, a very good morning to each and every one of you who are joining us on this wonderful Advent service. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. It's a very interesting narrative that we want to spend some time today. A passage that speaks to us about the visit of the wise men from the east. At times they look like a very mysterious character, but they came. They came to King Herod with a heart-searching question, and that is the theme that I've taken today. And they came with this question: where is he who is born King of the Jews? Can you see the excitement? They wanted to find out who is this king, and so they said, where is he who is born King of the Jews? You know, this question caused a lot of chaos, which also led to the murder of innocent children that we read from the particular text that was read to us today. From this interesting narrative, we want to draw some conclusions and also applications for our lives. Let's pray, and let's pray that God will help us as we spend some time looking at His Word. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We pray, God, that even during the time of Christmas, Lord, we pray that You will speak to us. We want to celebrate this Christmas, O God, just experiencing You, knowing You, and also, Lord, enjoying You forever. And so, Lord, we pray that You bless our time together. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen. Dear friends, I believe all of us have heard this familiar lyric or familiar Christmas song. It goes like this: it's the most wonderful time of the year. Even you go to the malls, and if you go to certain shopping areas, you know, you will hear this very popular, very energetic song that speaks about, you know, winter season and activities that takes place during the time of Christmas. It was written in the year 1963 by a person named Andy Williams. From then on till today, it has become one of the most popular Christmas songs. And unfortunately, when you look at the song, it speaks about activities or food or games that happens, but it has lost the reason behind the season. It has lost about speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the joy and peace that we receive when we know the Lord Jesus Christ. But however, I believe this is the most wonderful time of the year because Jesus came into this world. And Scripture reminds us, because of love, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. And so Christmas is not a season. It's about a person. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the text that we just read today speaks about how people reacted to the coming of the Messiah. Some were so excited because they were waiting for the Anointed One. They were waiting for the Messiah to come. But there were another group of people who were not so excited. They were angry, they were furious, and at times, the acts were also murderous. Matthew chapter 2, it's a very familiar passage to each and every one of us. And let me read to see how people responded to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, and they came and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. You know, what a heart-searching question these wise men, these Magi had. Very interesting question. And I believe this is the same question Many in this world are asking, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? And so they came because they wanted to worship. They wanted to come before the Lord Almighty who has come into this world. But how did Herod respond? You know, it says when Herod heard about this, he was furious. He was disturbed. In verse 3, and all Jerusalem with him. Can you imagine? When they were searching for the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, King Herod was so disturbed. He became furious. He was upset with the good news. And not only him. Scripture tells us that the entire Jerusalem was also disturbed. Why? Have you ever asked this question, why? Not only Herod was disturbed, but you realize in verse 16 onwards, you know, when Herod realized that he has been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, it says, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he has learned from the Magi. In verse 17, it says, then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled, a voice in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. No, Herod was so furious. He was so furious that he started murdering innocent lives. You know, one thing that we know about Herod, you know, historical documents tells us very clearly that he called himself Herod the Great. He was cruel. He was power-hungry ruler who wanted to destroy anyone who came challenging his authority or wanted to topple him from his throne. And historical documents also says that he even killed several members of his own household because they were plotting against him. And that was Herod. He wanted to destroy this Jesus because there was a fear in him that this Jesus who was born King of the Jews will someday will take over the throne. You know, when I look at this particular passage, I realize it was not only Herod, but throughout history, when you realize, you know, many in this world or many authorities in this world not only want to minimize Christianity, but also to persecute Christianity. They want to hinder the growth of this Christian faith. They do not want people to know about the love or even to experience the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. I came a couple of articles that were very disturbing when I was reading in January 2021 in Christianity Today. You know, there was an article that went with this heading. It says, the 50 countries where it's most dangerous to follow Jesus. Can you imagine in an age like this where things have advanced, there are countries that wants to hinder the growth of Christianity. And in that particular article, they say, you know, the listed nations contain 309 million Christians living in places it's very high or extreme level of persecution that is happening. And I was very saddened to read continue to read this article because it says that every day, each and every day, 13 Christians worldwide are killed because of their faith. And every day, 12 churches or church buildings are destroyed. Not only that, you know, when you continue to read, it is saddened to read, particularly in a time of the COVID pandemic. I came across another article by The Guardian, And this, it went like this. It says, persecution of Christians around the world have increased during the COVID pandemic, with followers being refused aid in many countries, my friend. So I believe Herod was not only the only character that wanted to hinder the growth of Christianity, but there are many, even today, in many parts of the world, the Christian faith is not encouraged. The Christian work is not welcome. And that's the kind of world that we live in. And that's how Herod responded. And that's how many nations today are responding to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I came across another article by BBC. Now it says, atheism is on the rise around the world. It's a world almost similar to the time when Jesus was born. Not only Herod was frustrated, was furious, was angry, but Scripture also reminds us that everyone in Jerusalem were troubled with him. In other words, every leadership, every Jew leaders, authorities were also troubled with him. They should have welcomed the good news, because finally the Messiah have come, the anointed one who have been prophesied have come. But Scripture reminds us that everyone in Jerusalem was troubled. Why? Now, for a moment when I was looking at this particular text, I was telling myself, you know, people should be just dancing in the streets, just rejoicing because the Messiah has come and he's going to bring freedom. And freedom is finally here. But why? Because I believe they didn't want to be caught in the crossfire between the Roman rule and the Messiah. I believe they were also afraid of how Herod will react when a new king comes, because Herod ruled with an iron fist. He was a very murderous guy in many of the things that he did. And so there was a lot of fear in them. The people who should have been excited, who should have welcomed this great news, the long anticipated news, they were afraid. There was fear. Fear was in their lives, my friend. I believe people were afraid there would be a change in authority. They were afraid they would be caught in the crossfire between the Roman rule and the rule of the Messiah. Or maybe they were afraid there will be a dramatic change that will happen because they have been used to this kind of a life. Dear friends, when we look at this particular thing, we realize that our people are also afraid of allowing Jesus to be the king of their life. In other words, allowing Jesus to take full control of their lives. They wanted a king, they wanted a Messiah, but when the Messiah came, they were troubled. When I was looking at this particular text, and I was just thinking of the word commitment and surrender, which we happen to speak in our churches today. But have you ever realized there is a difference between commitment and surrender? Today, many Christians want to be committed. That's wonderful. But when you look at the word commitment, you know, in an essence, people say it is not a biblical concept. It started in the year 1960s, and somehow it went into the hearts and minds of Christian writers, and began, pastors or even preachers began to use that word. Today, people make commitment. If they want to give, or they want to support, they want to be involved in some kind of ministry. And so when you look at the word commitment, it means you know, that you want, you're pledging, you pledge a devotion or dedication. But there is a loophole with this particular word commitment. Because we can still decide what and how much we will commit ourselves. The decision still lies with us. That's commitment, my friend. But when you look at the scriptures very carefully, scripture speaks about surrender. It's about surrendering ourselves to God. And it means totally different. It means that we are letting go. It means that we are allowing God to take control of our life. It's an unconditional submission. It's giving our rights to God and saying, Lord, you're in charge of my life. That is surrender. Today, you know, somehow, you know, people or Christians are very fond of the word commitment. It's good to be commitment, my friend, committed. But scripture emphasizes, speaks about surrender and saying, Lord, my life belongs to you. You are the king. I want you, Lord, to shepherd my life and to be in charge of my life. I believe that was the problem of King Herod, and that was the problem of Jerusalem, my friend. They should have expected this great news or accepted with joy and excitement. They didn't want. They were furious and they were troubled. And so today, are we a committed Christian? Or are we a Christian who have surrendered ourselves to God totally? And we are able to say, like the hymn writer who said, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Like what we read in the scriptures, Lord, you are the potter, I am the clay. God calls us to surrender, my friend. And that's Christmas. You know, when I continue to look at this rich text, I begin to see not only how Jerusalem reacted, or even King Herod reacted, but let's look at the people who taught the law, people who were just getting ready, getting others ready for the coming of the Messiah. In verse 4, it says, when he has called together all the people's chief priests. In other words, Herod called upon the chief priests and teachers of the law. And he asked them, in verse 4, he says, where the Messiah was to be born. In verse 5, it says, in Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. And the verse 6 continues, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. You know, these people, the chief priests or the teachers of the law, were members of the high priest family. And they were in charge of worship. Even they were preparing the people to receive the anointed one, the Messiah. They knew exactly when Herod asked them a question, you know, where this king of the Jews will be born. They knew the scriptures very well, because they spent their life reading, engaging themselves with the scriptures, my friend. But unfortunately, the birth of Christ did not make any difference in their life. You know, for a moment, I was just trying to imagine, they should have been the first one who would have brought the news of the coming king. They should have invited the people by saying, let's rejoice and be glad because God has heard our prayers as he has seen our tears. But you don't read such news, because I believe they were indifferent. Why? Why they were indifferent? Maybe they were indifferent because they were comfortable in their lives without a Messiah. They were just comfortable just knowing about scriptures. They were just comfortable just reading the scriptures without a Messiah showing or even leading their lives, my friend. Or maybe they were not waiting. They were not waiting or even longing for the Messiah to be born. Or maybe they were just contented with the knowledge they had. They were just contented with the religious works they were doing. Or probably, I thought, you know, looking at the scriptures, probably they were just confident because they believed they were children of Abraham. And because they are children of Abraham, you know, they are going to heaven and heaven is assured for them. And that's what they want. What a sad story. What a sad reaction, you know, to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The people who knew the scriptures, they spent day and night reading the scriptures, but unfortunately, they were not ready to welcome the Messiah. You know, when I look at this particular word, I'm just reminded of what James writes. The apostle James writes in James chapter 1, verse 22, he says, Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. You know, when I was just reading this particular text of James, I realized, you know, today there are many Christians in this world today, my friend. They're just comfortable where they are. They enjoy the season. They enjoy religious activities. In their everyday life, they do not allow the Lord to make a difference in their life, my friend. They don't see a deep need for Him. They're happy with their religious activities. They're happy with the good deeds. They're just happy just reading scriptures, my friend. But they don't want to have strong, and a firm, and a growing relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They were not waiting to hear God speak to them or even to show the way. The Bible encourages us not only to listen to the Word of God, but to do what He says. To believe is to act. That what scripture reminds us, my friend. And this is how the chief priests or the teachers of the law reacted. What a sad reaction. I hope we will respond in the way the next group of people responded. And they were the wise men, the magi, who came from the east. Let me read. You know, it says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and they asked, "Where is he? Or where is the one who had been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." And not only that, you know, not only they came searching for the Lord Jesus Christ, but in verse 10 it says, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Not only they were joyful, but they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child and his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him, and they opened up their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We do not know how many magi or wise men were there. Eastern tradition says there were 12 of them, whereas the Western tradition says there were 3 of them. No, whatever the case is, my friend, they came. They came because they wanted to see the king or even worship the king of the Jews. 2 reactions which I begin to see on this particular people who came. We don't really know much about them. But there were 2 things that we learn from them. Firstly, they sought out Jesus. In other words, they were searching for the Lord Jesus Christ. They were not contented with the knowledge they had about this Messiah, about a great king who will be born in Judea. But when they saw the star, they started their journey. It was a costly journey. It took time. It took a lot of sacrifice. It was a lot of inconvenience. But they wanted to see Jesus, the King of the Jews. You know, Jesus was the King of the Jews. Why should I be seeking the King of the Jews? They could have asked themselves. But they knew that this king is a different king altogether. I believe they would have met a lot of discouragements along the way. Rough road or difficult journey. Probably, you know, they would have thought, you know, shall we go back? You know, there would be a lot of, you know, struggles in their minds too. But even then, they told themselves, we wanted to see the King of the Jews. Nothing is able to stop them from seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. They spend their time, their energy, their resources because they wanted to see Jesus. What did they do? The second response when they saw the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, Scripture tells us they worshipped him. They bowed down, they knelt down, and they just laid prostrate before him and they worshipped him. Can you imagine the situation? You know, they could have rejoiced by seeing the king, but they bowed down. They acknowledged that this child is the king. And they rejoice at his presence, my friend. They worshiped him and they rejoice. Scripture tells us also they left with joy. Joy in their heart. Peace in their heart. And that is what happens when we have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. True joy comes, my friend, when we respond properly to Jesus, when we search for him and we give ourselves to him in worship and acknowledge him as the Lord and Savior of our life. Let me read a couple of verses from the disciple who saw himself, you know, loved by Christ or beloved of Christ. When I read, you know, John reminds us how people responded, not only in those days, but even today, my friend. He says in verse 10, he was in the world, John chapter 1, verse 10, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. When Jesus came, many rejected. Herod was furious. Jerusalem was troubled. The chief priests or the teachers of the law were indifferent. But Scripture reminds us, but to those who receive him, who believe in his name like the Magi, my friend, they have the right or given the right to become the children of God. During the time of Christmas, I think it will be important for us to pause and to ask this question. How would I have reacted to the news of Jesus' birth? And what is my response? Or what is our response to Jesus today and every day? It's my prayer that throughout this season, or even throughout each and every day, we will respond in a way the Magi respond. Searching for Christ, giving themselves to Christ, just adoring him, worshiping him as Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that is given to us, Father. We believe, O God, we live in a world that is searching for true meaning in their life. The world is seeking for peace. The world is seeking for reconciliation. People, Lord, they want their life to be meaningful. We thank you because your word reminds us, but to all who receive him, who believe in his name, you give them the right to become your child. And that's the promise of God. And we thank you for your promise. And we pray, God, that we will lead people to Jesus. That we ourselves will respond in the way the wise men or the magi responded. We thank you, Jesus. We love you. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen.